ministry all these years, it's been that God is a loving Father and not an angry judge. Norman and I were talking about this morning, you know, that where people are constantly always rolling back to God as, you know, as judge, or God as requiring something of you to do something to be saved, or something required of you. People don't understand that it's the fruit of the gospel that manifests in good works. It's not a requirement of the gospel for you to do good works to maintain salvation. And so much of the world has that understanding, has that bondage. That's why they hate God. They don't like God. They're angry with God because God makes you do stuff. They don't understand that God moves on the inside of you and transforms you into His own image. The Old Testament is what is still being preached and still being pushed, even in the world, even among the churches. It's do something for God. Do something to be saved. But the gospel says, no. Is that I did it. The story of the law was, here's what is required that you cannot do. So when God called Abraham, He called him to prepare his redemption. He called Abraham to prepare his redemption, the redemption for you and me, the redemption for the world. Amen. It's the only faith in the world that doesn't require something of you. Oh, what good news that is. And people kill because of it. They kill Jesus because of it. Because it's ruining the business model. Amen. It was ruining the business model. The business model was make people pay, make people do. And even the business model today is pastors make people do things. Because it makes the church look good, makes the church look fruitful and prosperous. Because people are now stuck believing that they can do something, trying to pursue righteousness. Galatians has told us time and time again that the gospel is that you don't do righteousness. Who has bewitched you? Amen. So let's look here at John 3, 16. For God, everybody say God. God. Oh man, that's good. We start with God. Everything, Robert used to say that. Everything starts with God. It's like the first verse of the Bible. You know, in the beginning, what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Here, for God so loved the world. He loved the world so much. He loved the world so much. Everybody starts in the world, don't they? Huh? You're part of the world. You're born into the world. You start here. So God so loved you. God so loved me. For God so loved the world that He gave. So His love prompts His giving. His love prompts His giving. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, say there's no more requirements, right? There's no more requirements. Whosoever believeth, that's the action, in Him, His only begotten Son, Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the reason that Jesus has come. That's the reason we preach this message on Christmas or on Easter, resurrection. That's the reason we preach this message. Because God loved you. You know, if we can tell people that God loves them, oh, bah humbug. You know, they don't believe that. They don't believe that God loved them. They believe that God is on their case, that He is after them to perform and to do and to not do the fun thing, right? I mean, you know, what's fun is, of course, those fun things are the things that are actually killing you, right? Destroying your life, destroying your body, destroying your home, destroying your children, destroying your business, destroying everything. Because the enemy loves to bring you into an idea that loving pleasure will give you life. Amen. But you don't even know what pleasure is. You think pleasure is something that is a temporary fix. You know, something you do 2 weeks out of the year, right? Vacation. They call it vacation, you know. As if you can't have fun the other, you know, 50 weeks of the year. You know, because you have to be able to be free from one thing to do another. No, you can rejoice every single day of the year. You can rejoice hard at work. Amen. Because you know that God is providing all of your needs. You know that when you resist the devil, it's not that it's you, it's the power of God. When you resist the devil, that's the power of God in on the inside of you. Amen? It's not you behaving. It's not you being good. It's Him. Because you're stepping out by faith. Resisting the devil is humbling yourself before God, and resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. He will leave. He will get out. Because he knows that the power of God on the inside of you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That's not a good plaque thing, you know, thing for your kitchen or your living room. You know, it's truth. And you say that every day. You say it. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is Jesus, of course, talking to Nicodemus. This is Jesus giving this truth to one of the Jewish leaders who actually had an ear to hear. And so he came to Jesus by night, hoping nobody saw him, so hoping nobody's watching him, because, you know, why would you meet with this guy who is destroying our business? Verse 17, John 3:17. So Jesus goes on. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So, no condemnation, but to provide salvation. So there is no condemnation in the arrival of Jesus. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, how many of you have received that? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, the rest of you? No. Okay. I believe everybody here has received the Lord Jesus as your Lord, your Savior. You've asked Him to come and to save you. You know, Isaiah said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's even Old Testament. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, you're a preacher now. You can tell anybody that. You don't have to call me. You don't have to call, you know, David Porcher, or, you know. You can say this yourself. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. And you know what an ambassador does? An ambassador has all authority for that nation. When we have an ambassador in Uganda, that ambassador has the authority of the President of the United States. He is a man, that is a trusted guy or woman in that case. They are trusted to do wisely and to articulate the policies and the knowledge and the understanding and the grace of the nation to that group of people, wherever they're the ambassador to. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ every single day. It's kind of like, well, you know, when they call me, yeah, I'll go do something. No, you're an ambassador every day, all day long, morning, noon, and night. You have perpetual authority to walk in the power of God. Huh? Amen. That is you. That is who you are. When you're a parent all day long, every single day, all night long, all day long, you're a parent. You know, thank God my kids are up and married and gone. But Olivia, she's requires a little more supervision. Amen. Liam requires not as much supervision, but you know, still a little bit. He would agree to that, by the way. Brenna, almost, pretty much out there under Jesus. Thank God for a house that Mom and Dad still have, and you get to live in for free. But someday soon, things will move into a new phase. So we're growing in the Lord. Amen. Amen? But that supervision, that's what you do with the gospel. You have that gospel in you, and you are an ambassador every day. You're an ambassador. You are sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? So you recognize that, and you meditate upon that. You meditate upon the fact that you're an ambassador. Because that ambassador, doesn't he always meditate on the fact that he's an ambassador? Everything he does, you know, you think of the pastor that way. Well, the pastor better not mess up, you know, publicly, certainly, you know. Yeah. But no, it's you as well, because you're testifying of the gospel. Amen? You're testifying of the gospel. And God sent Jesus as his ambassador. God sent Jesus, and Jesus demonstrated to the uttermost God's love for you. God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There's such specificity to Jesus' words here. You know, you go back and read this. I've always told you, don't read things fast. Amen. Slow down. Read words carefully. That way you get the most out. Chew it. You know, Pastor Jim used to talk about chewing. Remember? Chew your food. What? 100 times. Chew milk. He that believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned, is not, he that believeth in him is not condemned. Well, you can meditate on that little sentence, right? Half a sentence, couldn't you? Woo, man, enjoy that. Bible says this, honey. You're talking to your friend. He who believes in him is not condemned. Oh. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. So the believing not results in condemnation from right now. Jesus, right now, if you believe in Him, you're not condemned. But if you believe not, you're condemned already. You mean there's no extra credit I could do that might be able to help me out? And maybe if I miss that first boat, I could make a deal? No. He says, he that believeth not in Him is condemned already. Because, and here's the because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's kind of a short circle, isn't it? Kind of a short little circle, It's believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, or you're done. Or you're condemned. And here's what the condemnation looks like. He's going to describe the condemnation, how it manifests. That light is come into the world, and that men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Well, you just love everybody on your side, right? You just love everybody who's like you. Hey, y'all evil? I'm evil? We're good. We're good with each other, I mean, who can condemn each other if you're all evil? By golly, we're good friends. So this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. They didn't like light; they liked darkness, because their deeds were evil or dark. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So that is because you received by faith the promise and the gift of God, your deeds are transformed. And your deeds are proved. Over in Romans chapter 12, that you might prove what is that, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So you're being transformed, like right here. You're being transformed that you might demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I just wanted to introduce that fact with relationship to the entrance of the Savior, right? The entrance of the Savior is that for God so loved the world. That's the reason that Jesus came. That's the reason that Abraham was chosen by God. That's the reason that Noah was chosen by God. It's because God had a plan, right? God had a plan. Over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, gospel promise. It's God speaking to the serpent after the fall. And I will put enmity between, just talking to the serpent, talking to the devil, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And I am between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman will bruise, Mr. Serpent, your head. And you shall bruise his heel. Well, there we have the testimony of Jesus. That he crushed the head of the serpent, yet the enemy bruised the heel of Jesus. When we say bruised the heel, why? Because he did not die ultimately. He but was raised from the dead. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Call his name God with us. Over in Isaiah chapter 9, he says, here's the child. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting God, Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. What's the operative word there? Increase. Of the increase of two things, his government and peace. So when Jesus is reigning, which he starts out right now, he's reigning in you. He's reigning in me. So of the increase of his government, so his government in me is increasing. I am more and more and more walking under the government of God, walking under the government of Jesus. Sin doesn't rule me. The work of the enemy doesn't rule me. Of the increase of his government and what? What's the next one? Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So he is on the, where does he live now? On the inside of you because of the Holy Ghost. So the increase of his government and peace, hey, I'm at peace, total peace. Well, everything's going wrong. I'm good because I'm not worried because I'm not, this isn't my home. Abraham was looking for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for that. We're having expectation that our city's coming. This isn't the one that we're, you know, this isn't the one that we're tied to. You know, things look awful. Things look bad. Things look like they're in, like we're in big trouble. I'm not in trouble. I'm in Jesus. Kind of cute, but it works. You're not in trouble. You're in Jesus. Amen? I mean, you could say that, you know, I'm in trouble. No, you're not. You're in Jesus. Are you in Jesus? Well, you're not in trouble. It looks like you're in trouble. That's okay, because that's good, because people can come to you and kind of wonder how you're holding up, and you can tell them how you're holding up. I'm just great. Everything's going my way. Amen. Pastor Jim used to say, "Perfect." What? That's just no. Don't even say that to me. You know, don't you watch, you know, the news? You know, don't you see that everything, the border is going crazy and the Middle East is going crazy? Aren't you worried? Aren't you torn about the digital dollar? They're going to take your dollars and make them digital. Then what are you going to do? Worship God. Eat. I'm going to do whatever God gives me. Amen. Aren't you? Yeah, let's get together and be scared. Amen. How about not? How about let's get together and rejoice and sing and pray and know that God is with us and doing mighty things in us. Amen? Of the increase of his government and peace inside, there will be no end. It continues going and growing. Going and growing. Look over at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read a little bit. I can get my specs out and read better. All right. Matthew 1, chapter 1. Now listen to this. Now we're talking about the birth of Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. So the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So here Matthew begins and gives us the genealogy of Jesus. Because God began from the foundation of the world to present this transition and this redemption for us. So here's the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Here it is, coming your way right now. He's the son of David and he's the son of Abraham. Do you know he's the son of Abraham? Do you hear him when we talk about that? He's the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. I'm not going to read this whole passage. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac fathered Jacob. And Jacob fathered Judah, and his brethren. So that's this, you know, one of the tribes of Israel is Judah. And Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah and his brethren. And Judas fathered Phares and Zara of Tamar. And Phares fathered Esrom, and Esrom fathered Aram. Aram fathered Amminadab, and Amminadab fathered Naasson, and Naasson fathered Salmon. Now watch these guys. And Salmon fathered Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz fathered Obed of Ruth. Now, y'all remember Ruth. And Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David the king, and David the king fathered Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon fathered Rehoboam, and Rehoboam fathered Abiah, and Abiah fathered Asa, and they go on and on. Then we'll look at verse 15. And Eliud fathered Eleazar, and Eleazar fathered Mathan, and Mathan fathered Jacob, and Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David till the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away of Babylon to Jesus Christ are 14 generations. Now verse 18, look there. Now here we have come down to Joseph. We've come down to Joseph, who is a son of David, who is a son of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, betrothed to Joseph, they were not, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So they were betrothed, that is, they were already essentially married legally, but have not yet consummated the marriage. So it's usually a year. So Joseph, being a just man, verse 19, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, what are we going to do here? This is a problem. So sad that, you know, is he sad? Is he angry? We don't, because I mean, there's usually only one way to be pregnant. Amen. And if it wasn't you, it had to be somebody else, the man is thinking. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. You know, he didn't say son of Jacob. You know, he said, Joseph, son of David. So he was tying him to his genealogy. He's tying him to his sonship of the line of King David. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or Joshua, Yeshua, which means salvation, because he shall save his people from their sins. So while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said these things. Now all this, verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, and here's that verse we read a little while ago, in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised up from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had told him, and took to him Mary his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Yeshua. Called his name Jesus. Okay, now, finally, for today, look over in Luke chapter 1. And of course, you know, we know the story, most of us know the story about how the angel appeared to Zechariah, the father of John. To Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And they had, John and Elizabeth had a baby born to them in their old age. And here, about the time John has been born, over in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 62. Let's see here. Well, 59. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. You remember Zechariah could not speak at this point. He had been mute ever since he kind of questioned about the fact that this baby was going to be born. So he wouldn't mess it up. I just don't believe it. Let's not have any of that, God said. Verse 60 says, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there's nobody in your family named John. Well, why would you call him that? Because that was the tradition, of course. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote and saying, his name is John. And they all of them marveled. And his mouth was open, because all of a sudden he had testified to what God had said. So God said, okay, you can talk now. Now that everything's, you're not going to mess it up, you can talk again. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, and he praised God. And fear came on all them that were round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? This is John the Baptist here. And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, listen to this now. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied. Now, listen to what he prophesies. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. So Zechariah is prophesying of the Redeemer of the people of God. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Well, boy, that's quite a statement to hear in our day, isn't it? I believe God is going to save God's people from their enemies. Amen. This is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And he says that we should be saved since the holy prophets have spoken this, since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Oh, okay. I mean, he's going back to the promise to Abraham that he would grant us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of your life. So this is the promise. The promise is to serve God with holiness and righteousness. That is what God's all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting, how many know everlasting life is not just long life? Everlasting life is life, is eternal life, is quality of life, not just length. Verse 76, and he's talking to his son John now, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew, John, and waxed strong in spirit, was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So God has prophesied through Zechariah of the deliverance of God's people, to save his people from their enemies. God is saving his people, not only you from sin as Gentiles, but he's saving Israel from their enemies. Amen. Are you okay? Are you better now? Are you better now? God made a promise, and he's going to see it through, and he's going to complete his promise. Are you okay now? You know, you were watching Fox News. You thought they were on your side, you know, or you were cussing CNN, you know, because you thought they were against you. Listen, God wins. You win. You are in Christ Jesus. For God so loved you, and he gave his only begotten Son, that you would not be condemned. He that believeth in him is not condemned. Woo! You mean I'm not condemned even if I messed up today? No, you're not condemned. Because Jesus has come to live on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. And he is manifesting himself, and he is working in you that was his well-pleasing in his sight. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. I'm encouraged. I'm built up. I know that God's on my side, and I can never be defeated. Well, what if you run out of money? Still can't be defeated. What if you die tomorrow? Can't be defeated. I'm not condemned. You know, you can tell us, you can help people with that. Now, they may not believe you, but that's okay. It's not your job to make them believe. It's your job to deliver the mail. Amen? It's your job to put a smile on your face and just say, Jesus is wonderful. Everything is going my way. You know what? You should follow Jesus. You know? What if they kill you? Well, you'll be with Jesus. Amen. We have served a wonderful, wonderful God. He doesn't require a thing of us but to believe and to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? And you're a testimony. You're an ambassador. You have full authority to forgive sins. Do you know you have authority to forgive sins? Just like Jesus. You know, you'll believe in Jesus Christ, he'll forgive your sins. And just right now, in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. You're going to go to heaven today. You're going to spend eternity with Jesus just by faith in him. What if I mess up? God forgives you. God forgives you. What if I mess up on purpose? Well, then God's going to start talking to you. He's going to move in with you. Amen? See, Jesus moves in with you, and he's going to transform you and change you. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus, I want to be saved, but I still want to do what I want to do. Well, just let me move in with you, and I think we'll settle all that. Amen? So when you sin, just say, Jesus, do you still want to live with me? He said, yeah, I'm moving in today. And you know what? You're going to be changed. All your sin is going to be wiped out. God is going to take it away from you. There's a Jesus who's got power. He's got power. And His power is not your power. His power is power to take away the power of sin. Do you know He destroyed the power of sin? Go read Romans. He destroyed the power of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Lord God, thank You today for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You that You sent Jesus and He's right now in our hearts, transforming us and changing us and walking in us, manifesting Himself, causing us to be a demonstration of His power, causing us to be ambassadors for His kingdom. We're here. Just like an ambassador goes over to that country and is in that capital and being a representative of the kingdom of heaven. That's who we are when we walk out the front door. We're a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Father, thank You that You use us. Thank You that people are changed because they see our faces. In Jesus' name, may the Lord change us. Bring us into His presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord with our giving this morning. Thank God for His...